Welcome to the infamous podcast, Bitch, I'm Not Well. I'm Kelly.
And I'm Brandy.
And we're invested on taking you down to Crazy Town, where we talk about crazy bitches who are truly unwell.
All right. So this week we're going to cover a missing persons case, and the missing person is Brian Schaefer. And this one seriously bugs the hell out of me because I want to know what happened. And there's not too many options that could have happened. So let's go ahead and jump on in.
He's cute.
He is cute.
Very nice looking man, by the way.
Yeah, he was, I think, 28 when he went missing.
Damn.
Yeah, he went missing from Columbus, Ohio on April 1st, 2006.
Oh, yeah. That's a long time.
Yep, he's been missing for 19 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to state the obvious from the get-go so you weren't expecting an ending. Since this is a missing persons case, Brian is still a missing person.
Oh, okay.
But is he still alive?
He could be.
Did he die in an accident? Was he murdered? Nobody knows. Unless he was murdered, then the murderer obviously knows. But nobody else knows.
Missing person cases are so heartbreaking.
Yeah. Thinking about that this morning, I was listening to a podcast on Brittany Drexel, and I'm like, would it be worse to know that your child was murdered, or would it be worse to not know?
Worse to not know.
I think so, too.
Yeah. I would want to know because, you know, you live your life having all this hope and everything, and but then you also have this doom and gloom that's, in, you know, like over, hovering over your hope, like crushing it.
Yeah.
If you knew, at least you could just learn to live with it, maybe.
Yeah, I guess it would kind of give you closure, whatever the hell that is.
Closure, yeah.
I wouldn't be like...
Some kind of closure.
Yeah.
You'd be a wreck, but at least you would know whatever.
Yeah.
I don't understand how families can cope with it.
Yeah.
Any of it.
I couldn't. I'm not strong enough. Okay, so no one knows what happened to Brian, and regardless of who looks into his case and how many times it's looked into, there is no satisfactory conclusion. So it leaves us all guessing.
Yeah.
So Brian was born on February 25th, 1979, and he grew up in Pickerington, Ohio. And this town is a suburb outside of Columbus. Brian was the oldest child and had one younger brother. His parents are Randy and Renee Schaefer. He loved tropical locations such as Miami, Florida. Same, man. Same
bro.
He liked the laid-back, relaxed lifestyle, but he had chosen a career in medicine, which is the exact opposite, I would think, of a laid-back, relaxed lifestyle.
Yeah.
But
that is true.
Even while he was going to school to be a doctor whenever he graduated, he would tell his friends that his real ambition in life was to start a band playing music.
Now that checks.
Yeah.
That would be more laid back.
Yeah. You can play on the beach or whatever.
Yeah. Now the medical field would afford you to be able to do that.
Yeah. I mean, maybe do that for a few years and then go tour the world.
So he's a band guy, y'all. He was cute too. I ain't gonna lie. I mean...
Brian attended Ohio State University for his undergraduate degree. After 6 years of studying, Brian graduated with a degree in microbiology.
Well,
I hate biology.
I love biology. It's my favorite.
I couldn't ever figure out how to use the microscope.
Oh, gosh.
That was bad.
At my age, I would love to have a microscope and just go picking stuff out of the woods and throw it on there.
Yeah, that would be cool.
It would be.
Yeah, I just changed my major. Like, oh, this isn't fun. I don't like this.
Who likes it?
Not me. After graduating with his undergrad degree, he began studying at Ohio State University, or OSU for short.
Okay.
In the College of Medicine.
Okay.
While studying at OSU, he met his girlfriend, Alexis.
Okay.
She was also a medical student.
Nice.
Yeah, some smart people.
Smart.
Brian was in his second year of medical school in March of 2006 when his mother died from bone cancer.
Oh, gosh. And that's terrible.
Yeah. I mean, he was... So, yeah, he's 27. He loses his mom. I mean, he's in medical school, so that's a huge stress factor. Like,
right.
I don't know how he handled it.
That's awful.
Yeah. Brian was very close to his mother, so when she passed away, it hit him really hard.
I guess.
And after Brian disappeared, his friends and family were asked if his mother dying could have triggered something in him, causing him to self-harm or run away. While everyone said Brian was taking her death hard, no one thought he would end his life or run away from his remaining family and start a new life.
Yeah, that would be odd.
Yeah.
I mean, being successful and...
You would think you would want to be closer to your remaining family because you know what it's like to lose someone. It can happen at any time.
That's when you cling to your family, I think.
I think so, too.
Unless you had a super unhealthy relationship.
Yeah.
With whoever passed.
Yeah, and I don't know from the inside how their family dynamics were, but from what I've read, it seems like they all had a really good relationship and were close.
Yeah.
On March 31st, 2006, a Friday was the beginning of Brian's spring break. He called his brother asking if he wanted to join him for dinner. His brother had already made plans with his fiance, so Brian ended up going to dinner at a local steakhouse with his dad. Randy, Brian's dad, said that Brian seemed exhausted from his late nights of studying for that week's finals. Besides being exhausted, everything seemed normal during their dinner, and Brian left in a good mood. Dixie, you need to be nice.
And this is like not even a month. His mom passed March, just in March 2006. Just in March.
I want to say it was like 2 or 3 weeks after she had died. It's really close to when she died.
Yeah, okay.
Brian had made plans to go bar hopping later that night with his friend Clint. Around 9 p.m., Brian and Clint headed out to enjoy the night and let off some steam. Okay, I would have been like, all right, Clint, let's go. And it's 9 o'clock. I'm like, all right, Clint, I got to go take a shower and go to bed.
Wait, it's 9 p.m. It's 9 p.m. That's my bedtime.
I'm tired.
Okay.
All right. At 10 p.m., Brian called his girlfriend Alexis, who was out of town visiting her family. He wanted to confirm their plans to fly to Miami on Monday morning. So before his mother died, she bought Brian and Alexis tickets, flights to Miami.
Oh my gosh.
So they could relax on their spring break together.
Oh wow. How sweet.
Yes. She seemed like a really nice lady. After shots and beers at the Ugly Tuna Saluna.
Wait, what?
Yes. The bar was called the Ugly Tuna Saluna. I think that is the best.
This is in Ohio?
Yeah. It's not there. Well, the building is still there, but it's not called the Ugly Tuna anymore.
Oh, man, they should have kept that
name.
They
should have. I really like that.
That is a branding hard-on right
there. That is. I caught crabs at the Ugly Tuna Saluna.
Oh, my God. No.
I'm just joking.
No.
The kind you eat, not those kind of crabs. Get your mind out of the gutter.
Oh, sorry. That's usually where it lives.
Oh, yeah, mine
rent
too.
Rent free.
Yeah. When Brian and Clint left the Ugly Tuna, they made their way to the Arena District and Short North, taking shots from different bars along the way. Again, as I'm taking shots walking down the road, I probably would fall in the ditch and been like, just leave me behind. No. I can't go on.
No, don't leave me. Just throw me in an Uber and send me home.
Yeah, that's probably better. When they arrived at the Arena District, they met up with Clint's friend Meredith, and she offered to drive them back to the Ugly Tuna.
Why?
Their car was parked near.
Oh, they were walking.
Yeah, they were walking through. So, and actually, Brian could have walked back to his apartment from the Ugly Tuna.
So it's like a pub crawl.
Yeah.
Doing shots along the way.
Along the way.
Okay.
I wonder if they came up with pub crawl because by the end of the night,
you were
crawling.
Yeah. That's my thought.
I think so, too. I agree with you. Security footage outside the Ugly Tuna Saluna confirmed all three of them.
You have to say the whole name. It's fun to say.
It is. It's just catchy.
Yeah.
Security footage outside the Ugly Tuna confirmed all three of them rode the escalator to the bar's second story entrance at 1:15 a.m.
Wow. Okay. That's early.
Yeah. Shortly after arriving, Brian separated from Clint and Meredith. Around 1:55 a.m., Brian is seen on security footage speaking with two girls in their 20s outside of the bar. In the video, you can see one of the girls entering something in Brian's phone. Police found out later she had put her phone number in his phone. And then they went their separate ways.
Oops.
Yep. It's not how you want to find out your boyfriend's cheating on you.
No. Maybe that's why he ran away.
Maybe so. He's like, she's going to kill me.
Yeah.
5 minutes later, as the bar begins to close and patrons head down the escalator, Clint and Meredith realize Brian is missing. They tried calling him several times, but he never answered. and the two assumed Brian had walked home to his off-campus apartment, which was 6 blocks away.
Not far.
Mm-mm. And after looking for him and calling, they assumed Brian had left, and so they left.
Yeah. Damn.
On Saturday morning, Alexis called Brian to finalize plans for the upcoming vacation. However, her calls were going directly to voicemail.
Oh.
Alexis isn't too concerned at this point. She knew that Brian had been out drinking the night before and assumed he was still sleeping off the previous night.
Mm-hmm.
That afternoon, her second call to him went to voicemail.
Uh-oh.
And throughout the weekend, calls from his father, brother, and girlfriend went unanswered.
Oh, that's scary.
Yeah. I'm like beating on the door. Where are you?
Yeah.
Okay. Brian's family and friends became really concerned on Monday when Brian never showed up at the airport to travel to Miami with Alexis.
I guess so. So yeah. She hadn't heard from him, but she still showed up at the airport.
Yeah, she's like, maybe he's still drunk. I don't know.
Maybe he lost his phone. Maybe, yeah. You know.
I mean, he's got tickets to Miami. He's got to show up at the airport, right?
So they live in the same...
They don't live together.
But they live in the same town.
Yes.
If they're using the same airport...
She was a few hours away.
And she goes to the same school.
Yeah, she left for the weekend to go visit her parents.
Okay.
And it was like 2 or 3 hours away.
I got you. So she went straight to the airport.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, she might have gone to his apartment, but she didn't see him anywhere. She couldn't get a hold of him. And so I guess like as a last try, she's like, he's got free tickets. He's got to go to the airport.
He's got to be at the airport.
Yeah. But he was not.
Gosh, can you imagine though, like, how the anticipation and is he going to be there?
Yeah, it's like you're sitting there and watching people, and looking like a creeper. Like, got a hat on, like flip up their hat to make sure it's not him in disguise.
We never know.
Yeah,
we never know what people are thinking or going through. Always assume the worst, though. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, I always do. I always do for everything.
Don't go up and put your arm around him and say, "Hey, are you okay? Do you need a friend? Do you need a hug?"
They'll probably shank you.
Probably shank you. Yeah.
Who are you? Stranger danger.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I need help in the bathroom. Can you come help me real quick?
My zipper's stuck.
Let me help you. Don't do it.
Don't go.
Don't do it.
After not showing up at the airport, Brian's dad, Randy, notified Columbus police that his son was missing. The police began an investigation immediately, and the investigation would become exhaustive as no stone was left unturned by the police.
Man, they were on it.
Yeah. Like normally it's like, oh, we got to wait 48, 72 hours. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it was that long that he was missing.
Well, it was actually Sunday morning.
Yeah.
So by Monday, it's only 24 hours. Yeah,
so, I mean, I'm glad they jumped on it to try to find him and didn't give the BS like, hey, come back later.
Right.
At the beginning of their investigations, there were up to 50 cops each day searching for Brian.
Jesus.
Police began their search at the last location Brian was known to have been at, the Ugly Tuna.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully.
Say the whole word. I like
the Ugly Tuna Saluna.
Yes.
Thankfully, the bar had security cameras, and these recordings were made available to law enforcement. They reviewed the footage, which showed Brian Clinton Meredith going up an escalator to the bar's main entrance. And then Brian coming back out at 1:55, talking briefly to the two women, saying goodbye, and then he moves off camera. When the Ugly Tuna Saluna closed, no cameras caught Brian leaving the building. And this was the last time that Schaefer was seen.
So, I don't know if you know, when he moved off camera, did he go back inside the Ugly Tuna?
Yes, because it split off two ways, and one side was the Ugly Tuna, and then the other side was like a restaurant or something, but it was closed. So he goes towards the Ugly Tuna Saluna, but they have cameras all over, and they don't catch him going back inside.
Okay, so they don't catch him going in, they don't catch him going out. Okay.
Yeah, it gets, like, you're going to be like, what the?
Okay.
Investigators have found nothing to lead to Brian or his remains. Police thought it could be possible that Brian had changed his clothes in the bar and was wearing a hat with his head down when he came out or left through a less used exit.
That doesn't make sense, though.
Yeah. They reviewed all of the security footage from the Ugly Tuna and were able to match every person that went in coming back out that night except for Brian.
Dang.
They even had one person they tracked down that entered the bar in a polo shirt and left the bar in a sweatshirt. They didn't think this was Brian, but they had to check just in case. Mm-hmm. And their gut was right because the person in the sweatshirt was not Brian.
So he was just unaccounted for.
Yeah. Like, they are pretty sure he went back into the Ugly Tuna, but they are like almost 100% positive, like let's say 98% positive, he did not leave.
Dang.
And all of the exits that were available had security cameras on them. So they should have caught him leaving. Mm. Police noticed a service door not generally used by the public was located a short distance from where Brian was last seen. This exit led to a first floor hallway, which featured access at the time to a construction area with its own exterior exit. Some officers believed this would have been difficult to walk through while sober, much less intoxicated, as Brian likely was at the time. Hmm. However, no camera in that area showed Brian leaving. Hmm. Police then began reviewing security footage from other bars in the area. They were hoping one of these cameras picked up Brian leaving the Ugly Tuna and would give them some idea of where he went. However, footage from cameras at three other nearby bars showed no trace of him.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, like Houdini, he's gone. After extensively searching the Ugly Tuna, police expanded their search area. They had officers, sometimes accompanied by police dogs, looking closely in the street, inspecting dumpsters and other waste containers, and asking residents if they had seen Brian. So far, the investigation showed that Brian entered the bar and never left.
Or maybe he did.
Maybe he did. Flyers bearing his picture showing a tattoo on his upper right arm of a stick figure logo from the cover artwork for the single of Alive by Pearl Jam, one of his favorite bands, and noting a distinctive fleck in one of his irises were posted throughout the city and surrounding areas. Police even persuaded the city of Columbus to let them into the sewer system and search there. Oh. No useful information was uncovered.
Damn.
At Brian's apartment on King Avenue, six blocks from the bar, his car was still parked outside, and inside his apartment, nothing odd was found. After searching miles away from the Ugly Tuna Saloon in every direction and finding no trace of Brian, police began considering other possibilities besides an accident or foul play. Mm-hmm. Since Brian's mother had recently died, it was thought he had gone away temporarily to grieve in solitude, yet his disappearance proved permanent. Mm. No evident reasons appeared for him to voluntarily disappear.
Right.
His credit cards, bank accounts, and cell phone were constantly reviewed for the first year, but they showed no use. Hmm. His family began to lose hope Brian would be found alive. Both Clint and Meredith were questioned regarding the night Brian disappeared, and neither thought anything was weird or out of the normal with Brian. He seemed to them like he was enjoying himself. Both were asked to take a lie detector test. Mm-hmm. Meredith passed her test, but Clint refused.
Oh?
He hired a lawyer and never did the polygraph.
What?
Yeah. And this did make quite a few people look at him like he was guilty, but polygraph information can't be used in court. And Clint and Meredith left together, so he technically has an alibi, but I really don't think either one of them had anything to do with the disappearance because it's been so long. If Clint had helped him run away or something, he would have broke by now. He would have been like, look, I don't want to have this spotlight on me. This is bullshit. He left. This is where he went.
Yeah, I guess so. But when people do, like, they don't want to take a polygraph, that automatic. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, throws up red flags. Why are you trying to hide?
But I would probably fail a polygraph for telling the truth.
I really want to take one and see.
You do? Let's set one up. Okay. We'll do it on the podcast.
Yes. And you can see. Y'all can see if I'm a good liar or not.
Yes.
I probably will zone out and not even hear the question. Be like, oh, hey, sorry, what? What'd you say? I wasn't listening. Brian's disappearance gained national media attention back in the 2000s and remains heavily discussed online today. Mm-hmm. Investigators have heard it all regarding the case.
I bet.
There are many, many theories associated with this case. So we're going to take a brief look at some of these theories.
Okay.
Theory number one, Brian was killed and rolled out in band equipment.
What?
Yep. Somebody thought that he went back in to talk to the band. They murdered him, stuck him in a box, and carried him out.
Because?
I honestly have no idea.
They didn't like the stick figure on the band. They were jealous.
Like, why don't you have our band's tattoo?
That's right.
Yeah, but I mean, they would have noticed them carrying a bag out, then carrying the same bag back in. You got to get your equipment back out. Like, why is this person carrying around empty boxes? Okay, wait, nope, there's a human in there.
Okay, that's whatever.
The True Crime Garage covered Brian, and one of the hosts of that actually knows these band members, and he talked to them, and they were like, we don't even remember him coming up and talking to us after our show.
That's insane.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's like... not likely. This is not, not what happened. Likely.
No.
And then security footage also shows that all of their equipment leaving the bar was in their designated containers. No equipment was carried out outside of a container or box or whatever equipment is carried in. Theory number two, Brian left the bar without being seen. And in his drunken state, he climbed into a garbage container, fell asleep and was killed when the container was emptied.
That's broad.
Yeah.
Who would crawl, even in your drunken state, who would crawl into a waste container?
Just walking by him grosses me out. I don't want to touch him.
Yeah.
Police searched these areas soon after Brian went missing, and they didn't find any clue that would lead them to believe Brian did this. But before we dismiss this theory as a joke, there was a man in England that got drunk, went to sleep in a garbage container, and then was crushed when the garbage was picked up.
Holy moly.
And I will be covering this on an episode because this is crazy. It's very, like,
that's weird.
Yeah. I can't believe this happened.
Yeah.
Must have been really drunk. Let's go to theory three.
All right.
While drunk, Brian made his way to the exit that exited into the construction area behind the bar, and he fell in one of the holes. He was either not seen by any of the company's crew before they filled in the holes, or he was seen by one of them and buried without saying anything.
Ugh.
And again, with the theory, there was no proof that Brian ever left the Ugly Tuna. Police had dogs out searching for his scent within 2 days of him going missing, and they never picked it up. That would be kind of crazy, though. Like, you see a body in the hole, like, look around and start shoveling dirt over it. God, I don't want to get in trouble. It's like...
get in trouble.
Yeah, like you... what?
Yeah, no.
I'm sure there were barriers and stuff up. You need to tell somebody.
Yeah, I think I would call.
But the exit that he would have taken to get here also had a security camera. So...
okay, yeah.
Yeah, so it's not likely that that's what happened to him.
Yeah.
Theory number four. The smiley face killer got him. The smiley face killer in itself is a controversial theory among true crime fans. There are a lot, like way more than I thought, of white college-aged men that have gone missing from bars and then days or weeks later are found dead floating in a nearby body of water.
What?
Yeah. There is a smiley face drawn on something near where the body is found, marking the killing as done by the smiley face killer.
Okay.
These happen all over the country, so some people think that the smiley face killer is a serial killer group.
Mm-hmm. Or copycats.
Or copycats. And whether you believe the smiley face killer exists or not, Brian was not seen leaving the bar and his body was never found floating in a body of water.
True.
And this topic is extremely controversial. You'll have some people that, like, they will die on that hill that there is a smiley face serial killer. And others that are like, it's just a coincidence. It's like, I mean, recently, like within the last 2 years.
Really?
1 year. Two guys, one in Corpus Christi, Texas, and one in Tennessee, both went missing and were both found dead in bodies of water.
And there's around the same time or?
No, I think one I want to say was in like August.
Okay, now we have to do an episode on the smiley face killer.
Yeah, because there's a lot of guys that have gone missing and then showed up dead in bodies of water when they leave the bar.
Oh.
There's another one that... supposedly, he was found standing up in the water.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Dead? But he was dead. Yeah.
Standing up.
Yep. And his body had not decomposed at all. And it had been like weeks, if not months.
Okay. Since he disappeared.
Yeah.
You've got to do that one.
And there's another, a case where a guy went missing from a bar and his parents and everybody are looking for him. And... somebody comes forward and says that they saw him in somebody's basement and he was messed up on drugs or something. His family was like, well, he doesn't do drugs. And then like a week after that person came forward, his body was found in a ditch. And the coroner ruled that he'd only been dead for like 48 hours.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. So.
Ooh, somebody had him in a basement.
Yeah. So I'm definitely going to do, going to cover that because it's really, really interesting. And
okay. So we have the England guy in the dumpster.
Yes.
And the smiley face killer coming up.
Yeah. Not to be confused with the happy face killer.
Oh my gosh.
Who was a serial killer in Canada.
All right.
I can cover him too if you want.
Yeah, please do.
They had
a
documentary that just came out about him.
Jesus.
All right. And this is the last theory I'll go over with you. It's number 5.
Okay.
Brian disappeared on purpose and is living the quiet, relaxed life he dreamed of in a tropical location.
Oh my gosh.
And I really don't think that Brian would have stayed missing for this long.
No.
It will be 19 years or was 19 years since he's gone missing, since it's April 2nd today. So he's been missing for exactly 19 years.
Wow.
And a lot has happened since he went missing. And I would hope if he had disappeared on purpose, he would have gotten in touch with his family in some way.
Yeah, being they were close. I mean, you don't just cut off your whole family.
Yeah.
I wonder if he hit his head or something and he doesn't even know who he is.
I kind of wondered that too. Like, could he have amnesia? Could he have been injured severely in an accident and somebody brought him to the hospital and he died as a John Doe and they never saw that this was a missing person.
Mm-hmm.
The hospital didn't realize it. Like, just like coincidences that aren't really a coincidence.
Yeah.
So
nobody around him is a suspect for...
The only one that the police have really looked into was Clint.
Yeah.
Because he stopped answering questions. He wouldn't do the polygraph.
Got an attorney.
But Clint is... I think he's a doctor. He's either a high profile doctor or lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And so with him being associated with the missing person, it was affecting his career and his family life. And because, I mean, people were finding out who he was and harassing him and threatening to do bad things to him. And
yeah,
he probably doesn't know what happened to Brian. I mean, I would hope if he did, he would have come forward by now.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Especially after what I'm going to tell you next.
Oh, gosh.
So the Schaefer family tragedy doesn't end with Brian.
Uh-oh.
So it's March of 2006. The mother died of cancer.
Right.
April 1st, 2006, Brian disappeared.
Okay.
Now we are in September 2008, and Brian's dad is killed in a freak accident.
What?
There were high winds outside his house thanks to Hurricane Ike.
Oh my gosh.
Randy went outside to secure a few items so they wouldn't blow away and a tree fell on him.
Oh my Lanta.
Fatally injuring him.
What are the odds of that?
I know. Like,
what are the freaking odds of that?
Yeah, and I mean, he died never knowing what happened to Brian.
Oh.
And so now the brother is the only one that's still left.
Oh my God.
This
poor family.
Oh, I know. Like, that's the last thing I think about when I go outside in storm or stuff to move things and put them up. I think I'm going to be hit with something flying. I don't think a tree is going to fall on me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is just like what? Nah. It's got to be like a 1 in a million chance of that happening.
Or more,
yeah.
Yeah. It's like me winning the lottery.
Yeah. Mine's really, really low odds because I forget to buy the tickets.
Well.
Often. I often forget to buy tickets.
Well. Yes, your odds are...
My odds are very low, unless one like magically flows through my window and lands on my console.
Wow.
Yeah, I've thought about
that
a lot.
What are the odds of that?
They're probably not very low. I mean, I would think I have some good chance.
Quadrillion?
Oh, yeah, probably so.
Yeah. You just go buy the ticket.
Yeah, that'd probably be a lot more likely that I'd win. Dixie, what number should I pick?
You know, it would suck if that really happened and it did float in and land on your dresser and you didn't win.
I threw it away. Like, oh, shit.
No, you didn't win.
I didn't win. Oh, yeah, that would be really bad. But like, you flew in, though. You were meant for me.
What
do you mean you're not worth anything?
The odds of a lottery ticket flying in my house? And I still don't win?
I still don't win.
That's about right.
Damn it.
That checks.
All right, so Randy's obituary was posted online, and there was a condolence book along with it. And there was a message on the condolence list that stated, "To Dad, love Brian, U.S. Virgin Islands."
Wait, what? Say that again? What?
So
Randy's
obituary is online, and they had a condolence list that you could write your condolences
in.
Sure,
yeah.
And one of the listings said, "To Dad, love Brian, U.S. Virgin Islands." And this suggested Brian might have left Columbus for a new life elsewhere.
Hmm.
However, upon further investigation, the note was found to have been posted from a computer accessible to the public in Franklin County, and it was determined to be a hoax.
That's awful.
Yeah. Like, why?
Because when you see that as a family member and then you get it checked out and it's a hoax, you know, you got all your hopes back up again.
Yeah. I mean, it's been like a year and a half, so his brother's probably like...
My bro's alive.
Yeah, he's alive. I'm not alone anymore. And then you find out it's a hoax.
Whoever does that, you're just sick.
Your dad's obituary, like,
yeah,
what the frick?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. That
bitch,
that
you makes were it unwell.
Even, yes, you were unwell, whoever you are. And we do not want you on our podcast.
Never.
So Brian's younger brother is the only remaining Schaefer. Mm. And he's still carrying on the search for his older brother.
That is just plain awful.
Yeah. I even went through thinking maybe Brian was in there and like he crawled on top of the freezer or he fell inside a wall and died. But the whole place has been entirely redone since he went missing. And there was no body found in the walls or in the attic or anything like that.
I was wondering, did they check behind the bar?
Yeah. Like,
did he just crawl up and go to sleep somewhere?
This one guy went missing and he worked in a grocery store and the milk and egg section like smelled terrible. They had to clean all of the food out and throw it away. Come to find out, like months later, they found his body had fallen in between the freezer and the wall.
Oh my gosh.
And nobody could hear him.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. There was something like the people would crawl on top of the freezer and they could smoke and take their breaks up there. And he must have been up there alone and he fell and was killed slowly.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was like, well,
smoking in the dairy section.
Not cigarettes you smell.
Mm-mm. Oh, I see.
I see.
The most relaxing milk and eggs ever.
Yeah. And he has a pretty memorable face.
Yes, he does.
You would think that if some, I mean, I don't know, because like before I really started listening to true crime and all that, I never even like did a double take at missing person flyers because I just assume they're missing and they're not going to come back. I didn't have a lot of faith in anybody. Mm-hmm. But like now that I'm older and I have kids and stuff, it's like, oh yeah, I do double and triple takes on missing person stuff so I can make sure I don't recognize this person.
You know what I don't get? Okay, whenever you get a Facebook, like a notification of a missing child or a missing person or whatever, and sometimes they're a scam. Mm-hmm. What did they gain for that? Why are they doing that? Because I thought it was a great thing that, I mean, Facebook gets it out there to everybody, the odds of finding a missing person by putting their picture and their information and where they were seen, and somebody in a different state says, oh, I saw this person, you know, date, whatever. That's fantastic. But now you have all these scammers that are putting these out there and people are deterred from like...
Yeah, they don't want to share and repost things because they don't know if it's real or not.
That's terrible.
And like with Facebook, if you see somebody that you think is them, you can pull his picture up on your phone and kind of compare the two now. Before, you would have to actually have the flyer. And I mean, now with all of, well, I guess YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, all that, if they do have their information out there, it's a lot easier to double check yourself and see if that could possibly be a missing person.
Right. I just don't understand, like, what did they get out of it?
Yeah, I really don't know.
Because they're not asking for money or anything. Are they just in it for likes?
Like, ugh, I'm not going to like you.
That's sickening.
Can I do thumb down?
Yes. Oh, if only they would catch him. Yeah. There's just so many out there that can't possibly.
Yeah, you can't track them all down.
Track them all down. Because they just keep changing their IP address, so.
All right, well, that is my episode on Brian Schaefer. And
poor Brian.
Hopefully they find out what happened to him one day.
I feel so sorry for his brother.
Yeah, I do too. It's a lot to deal with in a really short period of time.
I know, right? You lost your whole family.
Yeah, within a year and a half.
Yeah, so sad. Okay.
All right, well, we'll be back next week with another episode of A Bitch Who Is Unwell.
Bye.
We appreciate you listening to our podcast. If you liked it, please give us a good rating. You can listen on your favorite podcast platform with new releases every Friday. Just search for Bitch I'm Not Well. Send us suggestions for an episode at b.tchimnotwell@gmail.com. because Gmail won't let us use bitch. Bow, bow. Or visit our website at www.bitchimnotwell.com for more podcasts and our fabulous merchandise.
We'll see you next week on another podcast about another crazy bitch who is truly unwell.